Hello and welcome. This is Heavy Business. I'm Aaliyah.
And I'm Corey.
And it's just us again today. We're going to go over another blog post that will hopefully be extremely informative and helpful to y'all when it comes to promoting your next release. We're going to dive into more detail on the topic of paid marketing and ads. So, Corey, you wrote a pretty in-depth blog article about this. And, as musicians, we're always trying to expand our reach. And a lot of times our organic reach can feel very suppressed on social media. So sometimes people feel like they want to turn to paid ads as a way to be seen at all. But you did point out some valid concerns. So we're going to start with the first point here in the blog article, which is cost efficiency and return on investment.
Yeah, and to just back it up ever so slightly, there's a difference between being seen at all and being seen by the right people. The way paid advertising works is there's a lot of machine learning going on in the background when you are running your ads. So you'll set up your audience, saying you want to reach certain groups of people, and then the machine will continue to learn and refine and make sure that you are continuing to reach the right people that engage with your content. The problem comes when you have a small audience. You don't really know who your audience is yet. You may have kind of an idea based on what similar bands, what their reach is, but you need to know things like where do they live? Do you appeal more to men or women, or do you appeal to an older audience, a younger audience? Is your audience on Facebook, or are they more on TikTok? Because if your audience is on TikTok and you're running Facebook ads, and the problem with running ads too early when you have a really small audience is to reach the right people and for the machine to actually learn where your audience is, it takes a lot more work and therefore a lot more money, a lot more cost. The ROI, which stands for return on investment, is a lot lower, just because your audience hasn't been defined yet, and using ads to define an audience, one, is very cost ineffective, and two, you run the risk of building an audience based on the wrong people because you can certainly target certain areas and you'll get followers, but those followers will be something like bots because you're targeting bot territory and you're thinking, oh, yay, I'm getting followers, but they're not real people. Or you're getting people who are looking at your content and then dismissing it because, again, you're not reaching the right people. So it's always good to build up some sort of an audience that you can then expand on versus, when you have 10 followers and you want to run ads. Those 10 followers aren't enough of a pool to build an audience on.
So you would say, I hear a lot of like ad gurus saying that you can just build your audience based off of like other bands' audience. So you can target people who like bands that are similar genre to my. But do you think that it's better to build an audience based off of your existing fan base? Is that what you're saying?
I do think it's better to build an audience based off your existing fan base because, okay, here's an example. I like a lot of mellow death bands. Melodic death metal, my jam. I also don't like a whole lot of other melodic death metal bands. Why? Because it's like they sound too close to the ones that I like. So I'm just going to stick with the ones that I like rather than going with somebody that's more derivative or still finding their sound and what makes them unique. So it's always best to build off of people who identify with you versus somebody who identifies with somebody else, at least when you're getting started. Now, when you do start running ads because you do have a built-in audience, if you want to expand and be like, hey, I'm a, melodic death metal band, show me to fans of In Flames, then you can test that. But that's where the other part comes in is testing, which adds to the cost, is you're going to have to do a lot of testing to see which audiences you work with, which bands, audiences identify with your music, because they'll just be like, oh, well, you sound like In Flames. I'll just go listen to In Flames. Or they'll be like, oh, shit, you sound like In Flames. I love In Flames. It can go either way.
So you mentioned this term before we started recording, cost per acquisition. Can you go into what that means and how it applies here?
Okay, so an acquisition is when either somebody does, it can be called cost per acquisition, cost per conversion. There's a lot of different terms for essentially the same thing. It's somebody doing something that you want them to do with the ad. So say you want people to follow you on Instagram after seeing your ad. They click follow, that's an acquisition. Now, to get those people, you're going to have to spend a lot of money when you have a very, very small audience. So the cost per acquisition goes up. And you don't want that. You want it going down because you want each person following you costing less and less per click.
So why is that the case? Why is it when you have a smaller audience, the cost per acquisition is higher?
Because you haven't yet found the right audience. You have to build your audience in order to reach the right people who are going to go and click and do what you want them to do. And you don't have that foundation built. You got to think about it like building a house, and you have that your existing audience is the foundation, which is the most important part. If you start throwing up walls with no foundation, they're going to fall over.
Right, and like you mentioned, you need a larger, it's like you need a larger sample size for
Yeah.
the machine learning, which is going to target your ads, for it to know who to send your ads to. So if you don't have a large enough sample size to begin with, then it's going to minimize the efficiency of the ad, right? Am I
Correct.
understanding it basically?
Yep. It all comes down to efficiency. The bigger your audience that you start with, the more efficient your ads are going to be, the more cost-effective the ads are going to be, and the more successful the ads are going to be over time because they're running more efficiently and the cost is lower. So you're reaching more people for less money.
Sure. So how then should a band go about building their audience besides paid marketing?
So everybody hates this answer, but you have to be on social media and you have to be on relevant social media, which means everybody out there should be on TikTok. I'm going to throw that one out there because this is one bands fight with me all the time on, oh, I don't like TikTok. Oh, I don't want to be on TikTok. TikTok is dumb, blah, blah, blah. But it is one of the most powerful tools for reaching a bunch of people. And the other thing is it's the most powerful tool for reaching a bunch of new people. So here is an example of what I mean on that. Both Instagram and TikTok have a live feature. When you go live on Instagram, you are reaching about 99% your existing audience. So all of the people who are following you, those are the ones who are going to see that you've gone live. When you go live on TikTok, you're reaching about 94% new people. So your existing audience, sure, they're going to be shown what you're doing. But you're mostly going to be shown to new people. So I always tell bands, get to that thousand that you need on TikTok to run lives and then start running lives as much as you possibly can. Just go talk to people, go build those genuine connections because not only are you going to reach new people, but you're going to engage people and you're going to get committed fans because they feel like they have that personal connection with you because you've put in that effort. And those are the fans that you want. You don't want people to be aware of your music. You want people to be invested in your music. That's the other thing about running ads. It's all well and good to make people aware that you exist, but you have to make people care that you exist. And that's where social media and building those genuine connections come in.
So, when you say going live on TikTok and just talking to people, like, are there any examples of what we can do as musicians, what we can do in lives? Because to me, it's like whenever I'm posting on my band's socials, I always want it to be connected back to the music somehow. So, how are you going to do that with a live? I know you know some people who've done it successfully. Can you give us some examples of what they do that's successful?
Q&As are a big one. They just go in and they answer people's questions, regardless of really what they are. But throughout the live, even if they're not necessarily talking about their music, they go and they refer to their music. They'll answer some questions and then they'll be like, hey guys, just a reminder, we've got a new song out. Go head on over to YouTube and tell them that, or and then go leave a comment saying, some dude on TikTok told me to comment on this video. And the amount of people that find that amusing and then go do that, it is quite hilarious, honestly. Or it'll be something like, hey, we're you know, 10,000 streams away from breaking a million on our single. Go stream our song on Spotify, get us to that million, get people invested and engaged and really excited, and also feel like they're doing something, that they're contributing, like, oh shit, I got this band over a million on Spotify, or, you know, something along those lines. It gets them fired up and makes them feel like they're involved.
So this was point two in your blog article, building genuine connection. Are there other ways or any other commentary that you wanted to expand upon with this topic?
Well, on the subject of live, if you are playing live shows, go be at your merch booth after your set. That's a big, big missed opportunity that I see, where people, they'll have a merch guy there, but you know, they're a smaller band, they're still growing, they're not there. And people want to say hi. People want to say good set. People want to say you guys kicked ass, something along those lines. So go be at your merch booth. That is the biggest way to build a genuine connection with your fans. And I've seen so many bands be very, very successful because they took the time to engage with people in person. So take the lessons that you learn doing things on social media and just give people 10 seconds of your time while they're buying a CD, sign it. You know, oh, you guys did a great set. Hey, thank you, man. We really appreciate you coming out early to see us if you're the opener or something like that. Take those moments and people will be very invested in you, your success, your music, and just because they've got that connection with you.
Yeah, and I do want to point out that doesn't mean that you have to sell your own merch, which that is the path that I've taken, but or that we've taken. But you can get a merch person and still hang out at your merch booth.
100%. Because then, and the beauty of doing it that way is you've got somebody focused on actually ringing out the sales while you're able to engage with the fans. It frees you up to say something, to sign their CD, to do whatever, because you're not worried about running
the pictures.
Take a picture. Yes, exactly. Yes. Oh, yes. Take selfies. And also another way to encourage people to really connect with your music is encouraging fan engagement. Say you've just released a new single and you've got a pretty robust TikTok. Encourage people to record themselves singing the chorus or something along those lines. Oh gosh, what is her name? Is it Paris Paloma? Is that her name? She did that song Labor last year. It was a really, really popular song, not metal. Really, really popular song on TikTok. Aaliyah, I think you would actually really like it if you go listen to it. It's
maybe, I'm not familiar with it though.
It's a very beautiful song. But what she did on the 1 year anniversary is she released a re-recording that was just the chorus of everybody on TikTok who had recorded themselves singing her music, and she released it as a recording on TikTok. So it's this just this gigantic chorus of voices all singing this very powerful song. So as you build your audience and as people engage, encourage them to do it more and then make them feel like they're part of it. Another person that did an amazing thing, Sarah Jezebel Diva, with that song All Eyes on Me, that came out a couple of years ago, where she encouraged her fans to record themselves lip syncing and she used those to make the video. So one, that'll save you money on making a video. But two, that's going to make all of the difference to your fans if you have a song that's really emotional like that and you encourage them to be part of it.
Yeah, another example of that. I mean, a lot of bands have done this. I think Insafarium did this, but also Aether Realm did it with their song TMHC, which is literally a song that's dedicated to their fan base, the Tiny Metal Hand crew. And they let people record and be a part of that video. Yes, it's a cheap video, and it's also more than that. It's a way to engage your community and make people feel.
It's so much more than just being an inexpensive way to do a video. It's so much more than that. People are going to, they'll go back and they'll be like, look, I'm in this music video. And then they'll share it with other people because they've been involved.
Absolutely. It builds community and it helps like other people be like, oh, I remember you from that video. And I was in that video too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can build friendships and build that community around your music.
And here's another little example is I am in a music video somewhere out there, and I use it as a scavenger hunt to get people to listen to that band's music. I'm like, go see if you can find which video I am in. The band is
Wow.
Ligature Marks out of Portland, guys. Go see if you can find me.
And we'll ask you to leave it in the comments when you find it,
Yes. When you
whichever
find out,
platform you listen to.
comment what I am in the video. And actually, if you can figure out both spots that I'm in the video, like bonus points to you.
Yeah, no prize other than knowing that
Other than bragging rights, the
bragging
ultimate
rights,
bragging
yes.
rights. Yes. Much like whose line is it anyway? Everything's made up and the points don't matter, but you get the points.
Now, how does this play into or play or play off of the long-term brand development? That's the next point in the blog article. And how does that apply to your growth and marketing?
So, for musicians, building that brand comes down to like your brand is how people connect with you. So, the long-term brand development comes in when you have this dedicated audience that are continually coming back to your band. Your band is your brand. And when you build that genuine audience, that connected audience, that invested audience, they're going to continue to come back because they want to see how your career is growing. They want to know what the next album is. So in the long term, having that foundation, that strong foundation, that community is going to just fuel the growth of your band. Because if you think about like the bands that we grew up with, when, like, say you were a fan of Slipknot and they dropped a new album, if you were a fan, you were going to go get that album from Walmart or Best Buy back when CDs and they carried those things because I'm 900 years old. But you were going to go get that album. You were going to keep up on that band's success. You were going to make sure you knew when they were coming to your city so you could go see them. You know, that's where it all comes down to, like, having that genuine audience. Those are the people that are going to be there for the next album, for the next tour, the album after that, the tour after that. Because people who are listening to your music in a cursory way, they, yeah, sure, they'll stream it, they'll check it out, they'll, oh yeah, this is good, this is fine, this is whatever. They're not going to be at your show. They're not going to be the one that's buying your vinyl. They're not going to be the one kicking off the pit because they're not at your show. Like, those are the people that you really, really want. And those generally are not the type of people that you reach with ads. You reach those through genuine interactions. Yes, you can convert people that you have reached with ads into those dedicated kind of fans, but you have to go back to those strategies that you used to build your first audience.
Which are,
The dedicated fans from the beginning.
yeah.
The ones that you involved from the beginning. So it's all a cycle. Like you can throw your music out on ads and reach a whole bunch of people, get a bunch of followers, but you still have to go back to those strategies of engaging with them on lives, engaging with them at shows. You've got to go back to those strategies to keep them invested because if they don't have that personal connection, then I mean they're going to drift.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's like, how do you do that in between releases? Like, sometimes there's a long stretch of time where you don't have anything new to promote and you don't really know what to talk to people about. I think it's a struggle. Do you have any advice for that?
Talk to them about life. Talk to them about your passions. Talk to them about the things that you're working on because there's not a single person out there that is only working on one thing. Like there's not a person out there that's just a musician. And you can also talk to them about the things that you're tinkering with. Even if you do want to keep it just to the music, you could be like, hey, here are some guitar riffs that I've been working on. What do you guys think? I'm going to play them on this live. Let me know what you think in the comments, that kind of thing. So you don't have to be promoting something necessarily. You can just give them that insight into the things that you're passionate about, and people are really going to identify with that.
We have gone through most of the points, but the last point is the power of alternative strategies. Obviously strategies other than paid advertising, which we have talked a little bit about, like the TikTok lives, or, you know, engaging your fans with like involving them in your music videos. But you also mentioned here collaborations with other artists, engaging in community events, leveraging streaming platforms, playlists, and content marketing. Can you go into a little bit of detail on those? Especially, I think something a lot of people struggle with is leveraging streaming platforms, playlists, because you can't really get on the big ones unless you're organically successful already.
Yeah, but you can get on user-generated ones, which even the ones that are done by Metal Injection and Metal Sucks, those are still user-generated. The Knotfest ones, user-generated. Anything that is generated outside of whatever the streaming platform is, so if it's, you know, Spotify, if it's created by somebody who is not affiliated with Spotify, it is user-generated. So you can reach out to try to get on those. You can also build your own. And you can share other music. Say, these are the songs that have inspired me throughout my life. And they include, you know, X, Y, and Z bands. Share it, tag those bands. I've had bands, Carnifex, which is a fairly big band. They have shared my band's playlists when we said, you know, these are songs that we really love. Carnifex was like, oh, hey, cool, and shared it. So you never know what's going to happen on those fronts. And then bringing it back to collaborating with other artists, this doesn't even necessarily need to be artists in your genre. Go look at what Satanic Tea Company just did with Male Tears. So death metal band and then goth electronic band duo, I think. Completely disparate audiences, but the project is really cool and shows a lot of diversity between the music, you know, in the musicians' creativity. So you can do things like that. And, you know, when they share it on TikTok, ask, or not TikTok, Instagram or something, ask to be a collaborator. Those kind of things where, you know, the posts share audiences. So, and then content marketing, a lot of people hear the word marketing and they assume that it's paid. Content marketing are things like starting a blog, starting a podcast. One of the bands that I manage has a podcast. Things like that, that will get the word that you exist out, but in different avenues where you're engaging with people at a different level.
Let's say a listener of our podcast has never listened to the Lutharo's podcast. What are the type of things that they talk about in their podcast?
A lot of it is just personal, like things that they're passionate about, hanging out. You get to see a lot of the interaction between the band. There's you know, they jam, they rehearse, they include their fans as, you know, one of the group, one of the guys and or girls, because, you know, Krista's a girl. And, you know, as one of those, as one of the people who is part of the project, that's the whole point of the podcast. And you can do that, or you can do something like what Chris Garza has done and start a music related podcast. You can do something like what Matt Hafey has done and live stream yourself, you know, playing live or, you know, rehearsing on your guitar or whatever it is that you do. You can take those things that you're passionate about and translate them into a new audience. And then, I mean, you got people like Nick Nocturnal, who was a podcaster first and then now is in music. And so you can take the things that you love about music and you can parlay them into something. You could start a reaction channel of you reacting to other music. So it all ties together. And then not only are you promoting yourself, but you're promoting other bands and upholding the community.
So it sounds like the most important thing is just connecting with your fans somehow on a somewhat consistent basis.
Yes. However it is that you do that, make sure that it's a genuine connection, a genuine way that you're connecting, but just keep it consistent. And I mean, you don't have to completely like throw out all of the mystique and reveal everything about yourself. That's not required at all. The band that I work with that I've told you about that is really successful on TikTok Lives says almost nothing about themselves. Almost nothing about themselves. And it's actually quite impressive. It's just like an hour of sarcasm, but it's fantastic and people love it and it's hilarious. So you don't have to just let everything out, as long as it's a genuine way that you're connecting.
I will say though, it does mean that someone in your band has to be charismatic enough to do
Yes.
that. You know, you can't do these things if you don't have someone with the ability to talk to people in a entertaining way, I guess. 'Cause you do need to be like, if you're great at coming up with witty, sarcastic responses, great, but not everybody has that skill set. I mean, I guess you would need to just assess what ways that you can connect with people. Obviously, you need to be yourself and genuine, and not try to be just like anybody else. But I do think there's certainly certain situations. There are certain bands with certain groups of people that might not be able to, like, the live interactions would be a struggle for them.
And I do understand that, because despite me doing podcasts and having kind of a forward-facing job where I'm interacting with people, I'm an introvert. At the end of the day, I want to be in my jammies with my cat and like a book and some soup and probably homemade bread of some sort, sourdough. But
Should we talk about sourdough on the podcast?
dude, rye is your best friend when you're making your starter. I'm throwing that one out there. You guys do with that what you will. Sourdough is so much easier than people think it is. But back to the podcast. I like to tell people when they're nervous about doing something, think about it. Worst case scenario, what is the absolute worst thing that will happen? And have you survived something similar already? If you're going live, what is the absolute worst thing that will happen? Now, if you're not a horrible person and will say something absolutely terrible, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get embarrassed a little bit. You might say something that's like, oh man, that was cringe. You ever done something that was cringe before? I can guarantee you did. If you were ever a teenager, I can guarantee you did. Did you survive? Yes, you did. You got past it. And everybody, when they start out, is super freaking awkward. I was awkward. Everybody's awkward. I'm still awkward. But worst case scenario, you're still gonna be fine.
Very true. True words, true words. So, finishing up here, I mean, obviously paid advertising, it has its place.
It
And
does.
at some point in your career, most musicians are going to, once you achieve a certain level of success, you're going to benefit greatly from using it. But
Absolutely.
caveats.
But not right at the beginning. Right at the beginning is where you should be making those genuine connections with the fans that are going to stick with you long term, because those are going to be your greatest asset. You can throw all the money in the world and make people as aware of you as possible. Everybody in the world could know your name, but if they aren't invested in your band, it doesn't really matter.
Great, great way to end things. Thank you so much for going into detail on this podcast about your blog article, and I will link the blog article in the description. So please great, make sure to go check it out and look into this and consider what we've talked about on the podcast today. And thank you for listening all the way to the end. And until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.